For years, motivational speakers and self-help gurus have tried to capitalize on the Chinese symbol for the word crisis. Because actually, it's two symbols put together. And the first symbol means danger. The second symbol, they say, means opportunity. So what a great way to make a point. So in every crisis in your life, indeed, there's danger, but there's also an opportunity. Now, can't you just see the late night infomercial with the guy pitching this with the perfectly sculpted hair? I can't pull it off, but he can. Right? And he looks right in the camera and he says, friends, do you have a crisis in your life? Do you have a crisis maybe in your marriage? Do you have a crisis in your business? Do you have a crisis in your career? Well, we could learn something from the Chinese, my friend, because crisis for them is a combination of danger and also opportunity. And for three easy installments of $29.99, I'll tell you how to turn every crisis into an opportunity. There's a problem, though. The second symbol doesn't exactly mean opportunity. The second symbol actually means a crucial point, a critical moment. This is not what a crisis is. A crisis is there's a crucial moment that could be dangerous for you. So in that critical moment, you could be on shaky ground. Now, we've been talking about new beginnings for the last few weeks. And unfortunately, sometimes new beginnings follow a crisis. There's a crisis in your life. There's a loss in your life, a loss of job, a loss of relationship, a loss of a loved one. And in that moment, in that critical moment, it could be dangerous for you. You could be on shaky ground. So this morning, we want to look into God's word, and we want to look into his promises and understand that there is a danger point in a crisis. And the real danger is that we could lose our identity. And if we lose our identity, we can lose our self-worth. We want to look to God's word to learn our identity and to learn our worth. Because the fact of the matter is, when you suffer a loss, any kind of major loss, there is a danger of losing your true identity. Think about it for a moment. Let's say that you stop working. Even if it's voluntary, you're retired, you saved for it, you can't wait, you stop working. Or maybe it was involuntary, and all of a sudden the position was eliminated, you quit, you got fired or whatever. But when you lose a job, oftentimes people lose their identity because they're all wrapped up in their work. And so they don't know what to do. Think about it. In small talk, in any conversation, getting to know someone, what's one of the first questions that's always asked? So what do you do for a living? Right? Because that's who we are. So we say, well, I'm an engineer, I'm an electrician, I'm a plumber, I'm a carpenter, right? That's who I am. Now it's gone. Now, who are you? Even if you're retired, who are you? Do you start talking about who you used to be? It makes sense. We do our work, we probably work at our job 40, 50, 60 hours a week. We do it for 20, 30, 40 years. I mean, it's a vital part of who we are. It takes up most of our time. But unfortunately, we wrap ourselves up in what we do, and what we do becomes our identity. And when it's taken away, we're kind of lost. We don't know who we are. We don't know what we do. Another instance where we can lose our identity is when we become empty nesters, right? When all the kids move out. Not the first time, because they usually come back a couple times. But when they move out all for good, right? And then all of a sudden, who are we as a family? How do we function anymore? You might have to reconnect as a couple, because now the life you were centered around isn't there anymore. It's a loss of identity. The loss of a spouse. Oh, man. Loss of a spouse. All of a sudden, it's no longer Mr. and Mrs. It's just you. Been together 20, 30, 40 years. All your friends, they identify you as a couple. And all of a sudden, it's just you. Well, who are you? And how do you relate to people? And how do you fit in? And how do you act? There's very real danger in a crisis. There's a critical moment where you're in danger of losing your identity and not knowing who you are or where you belong. So we need to know our true identity. Who is it that we truly are? And it can't be what we do, and it can't even be the relationships that we have, because those can change. Those can be taken away from us. So we need to look at something that can never change and never be taken away from you. So we turn to God's Word. Take a look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So Paul says to his readers and says to us, our identity is that we're sons and daughters of God. That's who we are. It was in our baptism that God claimed you to be his own, put his mark upon you, and said, now you're part of my family. This is something we need to keep out in front of us. Our identity isn't what we do. It isn't the relationships that we have. It's the fact that God has claimed me as his son. And that can never be taken away. That can never change. That will always be my true identity. Paul goes on to explain. Verse 28, he says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's no male and female, for you are all one in Christ. He wants to drive home the point. It isn't what you do, it isn't who you know, it isn't the relationships you have, you're all one in Christ. Now, things around here are important to us. Well, I'm a plumber, I'm an electrician, I'm an engineer, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, right? In this world, they're important, but for God, no. Because God looks at all of us the same. And all he sees is his children. Jesus is an example of that. Look at his disciples. He had everything from fishermen to tax collectors. Look at his miracles. He healed the Roman centurion, and he also healed Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus didn't care whether the person was a Roman, a Greek, or a Jew. He didn't care whether it was a man, a woman, or a child, because they were all his people. That was their identity. That's your true identity. Your identity as a child of God, it's found in Christ. If you know your true identity, then you can know your true self-worth. Because see, that's the second danger. If you don't know who you are, then you're in danger of questioning your own self-worth, wondering what in the world can contribute. I can't even hold down a job. I can't manage a relationship. I don't contribute anything to the family anymore. I don't contribute anything to society anymore. And all of a sudden, that can spiral down to where we just crawl inside of ourselves and believe that we're worthless, that we have nothing to offer, we have nothing to contribute, that we're completely worthless. We need to know our self-worth. You need to know your self-worth. You see, indeed, if you know who you are, you will know how much you're worth. If you know your identity, you'll know how valuable you are. So it is true that you are sons and daughters, you're part of God's family, but that was no easy chore. For God to bring you into his family, it took quite an effort. Let's go back to Galatians. We'll skip over to chapter 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Why? So that we might receive adoption as sons. How is it that we're adopted into God's family? How is it that we become sons and daughters? He had to send forth his son into the world to redeem us. He had to buy us back. Look at it this way. God is holy and perfect, and you're not. Don't mean to ruin your day. Okay? If that's news to you, right? God is holy and perfect, but you're not, and neither am I. So if God is holy and perfect, then how can he have imperfect people in his family? If God lives in heaven, and if heaven is a perfect place, which is what that's all of us are counting on, heaven is a perfect place, then how can imperfect people be there? It doesn't work. So God sent forth his only son. to be born of a woman, to become a human being, born under the law to redeem, to buy back those who are under the law. Jesus is holy and perfect. He was holy and perfect when he lived in heaven. He was holy and perfect when he walked our earth, and he's holy and perfect right now. And although when he walked this world, he was holy and perfect and did not sin, he came with only one purpose in mind: to redeem you and to make you a part of his family. So the Father sent him into our world. Jesus lived in our world, and then Jesus took all of the guilt of our world, all of the sin and imperfection and unholiness upon himself. And the death we deserve, he died for us. Why? So that you could be declared righteous. You could be declared perfect. You're not, neither am I. But because of Jesus, you have been declared perfect, and now you are part of the family. If you know your identity, then you know your worth. Now, sometimes I fear that when I talk about that, that those of you who have heard it a number of times, it just goes, yeah, all right, I got it, yeah. I don't know that we understand or fully comprehend how big a deal it is. And because of that, we could fool ourselves into thinking that when we really get down and that we've really suffered a loss, to say, yeah, I'm not worth anything. I'm not worth the effort. I have nothing to contribute. No, I'm not worth it. Have you ever considered how dishonoring that is of God, who gave everything for you? Perhaps you could think of it this way. For a moment, let's think of our armed services. Let's think of the men and women stationed around the world who are defending us and our freedom. Now, I want you to think about the moms and the dads who willingly sent them off to be in harm's way to defend and to protect you. Could you imagine going up to one of those parents and saying, yeah, I appreciate that and all, but I'm not really worth it? Could you go up to one of those servicemen and say, yeah, you know, I'm really not worth your time and your effort? They say you are. And they say this country is worth it as well. How dishonoring and disrespectful and hurtful that would be. We dare never say to our Father in heaven, we're not worth it. We're not worth the effort. We don't have anything to offer. There's nothing good about us. Because he said you're worth it. He said you're worth everything. In fact, he says you're worth every drop of blood that my son has. That's your value. Know your identity. Know your worth. And if you know your identity and you know your worth, then we have to know that every day is a gift from God. Every day is a gift from God. Unfortunately, when we go through a loss, when we have a crisis in our life, we tend to retreat instead of advance. And that's the danger. We retreat instead of advance. Instead of moving on to the new beginning, we retreat and we crawl inside of ourselves. So we sit around all day watching TV, eating Cheetos. You can't do that for weeks on end. It doesn't work. You just sit in front of your computer looking at Facebook all day long. You can't do that. Even though you don't want to get out of bed, even because you hurt so much that you don't want to face a new day, because of your identity in Christ, because of your worth by the blood of Jesus Christ, every day is a gift from God. You don't want to just exist. You want to live, because God has given that to you. Listen to what the psalmist said. Psalm 118, he says this: "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Now, lest you think the psalmist is having a great day, no troubles, no problems in his life, let's go up to verse 5. He says, "Out of my distress I called to the Lord." How about verse 10? "All nations surround me." And it gets worse from there. In other words, he's in crisis. He's at a critical moment of danger. But he knows his identity in God. He knows his worth to God. Therefore, every day is a gift. Make sure that you treat each day as a gift from God. Even if you don't feel like facing it, have a schedule. Have things to do. If you've suffered a loss right now, don't retreat inside yourself. Don't avoid people. Get out and be among people and be busy. Don't just exist, but live. Because each day is a new beginning. Sometimes new beginnings are caused by a crisis, a loss. But God comes along and he says, don't lose your identity too. He gives you your identity as a child of God. He says, you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how valuable you are. And now he gives to you the gift of every day. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we knew that each and every day is a gift from you, a new beginning from you. I pray especially for those among us that have had a loss. Maybe it was a job, maybe it was a relationship, maybe it was a loved one. I pray that you would fill up their hearts, that you would give them strength and comfort through your Holy Spirit, that you would remind them that they are your son or daughter, and that they're worth everything to you, so that they can face each day as a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.